Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. I Am, a spiritual approach to mental health, is a straight-from-the-heart, down-to-earth account of a stubborn woman's difficult yet ultimately life-changing conversion. The book, from Marie Brunger, renders insights to a natural complementary approach for the prevention and intervention of ill health, as well as the meditation for ongoing mental wellness and complete well-being. For Marie, well, the journey began in 1992 through the diagnosis of a debilitating illness. Marie Brunger, author of I Am, a spiritual approach to mental health, there's a fine line between fear and freedom, is our guest from Australia on This Week in America. Marie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be here this morning.
This is such an important message that you are taking to the public, and it's going to be so helpful for so many people. And I want to begin where you talk about in the book. I wasn't brought up in a religious family, so God and any kind of spirituality remained out of sight and out of mind, or so I thought. This was really different for you, isn't it? If somebody would have said 20, 30 years ago, you'd be writing a book on spirituality, you would have said what, they were crazy.
Absolutely. I would have, Rick, yes, because I didn't think I had any beliefs. You know, I didn't know there was any such thing until I got sick and was willing to do whatever it took. And suddenly I found myself on this spiritual journey. A lot of resistance. It's the last thing I ever thought I would go down. But it was a journey of finding out what God meant for me. Because I don't think God belongs to any religion. I think it belongs to everyone. And everyone has a right to develop their spirituality in their own way. And for me, it was my savior, I guess. It was a way that I was able to turn inward to find the answers to the questions that I needed to know so I could get well again.
Let's go back to when this journey all began for you. What, 1989, you're moving with your husband. You're thinking, I want to find out more about myself. You got back into competitive sports, badminton, and had some health issues in dealing with that there. And then the diagnosis in 1992. Talk about, because that's sort of the foundation for what's happening here. Talk about that period in your life and what you were going through and what you ultimately discovered.
Well, I think at the time when I was diagnosed, it was really the finale for me of a sense of failure. It felt like I had failed again. And coming through life, it opened a lot of doors for me to recognize where I was coming from. And basically, when I look back, my life was being run on the power of fear. And so you could have changed chronic fatigue syndrome to chronic fear syndrome, because I believe that was the driving force behind my illness.
And you mentioned that in the book, and that really jumped out at me. Talk about that fear and where that came from. Do you know where the fear came from and the impact it had in a very negative way on your life?
Look, on the front, I put on a really positive face. You know, everybody saw me as being happy and very competitive and very skilled. And yet I felt short, you know, like always the runner-up, if you like, but excelled at many things. But I was pushing myself constantly to be better because I never felt good enough about myself. And it didn't really matter how many. I remember winning a silver medal in the badminton, Australian Badminton Championships, and threw it in the bin because it wasn't the gold. So I was pushing myself so hard in wanting to be better, to be good, to improve myself and to prove myself. Nothing was ever good enough, you know, in my mind. And I think that's the story. I think most of us have this not good enough thing happening for us. And therefore, we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of being who we are. I mean, we're all these masks because we're afraid that people will see who we are. And it took me to get sick for me to be able to start bit by bit to peel off those masks and let people see all of me. I mean, there is a great side to me, but there were some really negative, fearful parts of me that people needed to see. And that was the difficult part. And I think that's difficult for most of us.
Yes.
Is letting people see who we are, warts and all, so to speak.
The book is I Am, A Spiritual Approach to Mental Health. There's a Fine Line Between Fear and Freedom. Marie Brunger is our guest on the program, the author. That's B-R-U-N-G-E-R. The book's available at Amazon. You can go directly to Marie Book's link on Amazon by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk a little bit about the diagnosis, the chronic fatigue syndrome. Talk about that and then how you realized you were dealing with fear issues for a number of years.
Look, I think the bulk of it was the fear issue. That really, when I started to have a good look and see where I was coming from, fear was driving my life. I was afraid of what I would lose. What if I lost my husband? What if I lost my house? What if I lost? It was always a what if. And then that really started to wake me up. So the question that I ask on a day-to-day basis, and I think one of the key questions that I ask people these days is, what's driving your life? Is it fear or faith? Because there's a big difference. And so crossing that fine line means that we actually step into faith. And so we come from within instead of relying on everything outside of us to make us happy, to make us feel better about ourselves. We actually come from within because inside we're all the same. We come from the same spirit, and that's what connects us, and it's all good.
I want to talk about your journey. You say in the book, as I develop faith, I raise myself out of the quagmire of fear into the light of love. Talk about the realization that you were stuck in this quagmire of fear and how that led to the development of faith, because that's difficult for many people to make that transition.
Look, I think there comes a time. I'd already asked the question. I wanted to change my life, or I wanted to find myself. And I think when you ask that question of yourself, then something has to happen to make that change. And for me, chronic fatigue syndrome was the blessing that made me stop long enough to look inside. So how does that come about for each individual? I think you have to be ready. There's something you need to want to change in your life enough that you are willing to do something you don't really want to do. And the last thing I ever wanted to do or even thought about doing was turn into spirituality or turn into God.
Yes.
So I think there has to be a time when you're ready for that, whatever that. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of people, there has to be a crisis either in their life or in their family's life for them to make that change. It doesn't have to happen that way, but quite often it does.
When you decided to make that change and you looked into spirituality, what were you looking for? Did you have an idea what this was going to be like, or did this sort of evolve as you got to looking into it?
I had no idea what my life was going to look like. And if you told me that this is where I'd end up and I'd be writing a book and all of those things, which would have been extremely fearful. So it's actually brought up many more fears, because it has to, because I have to recognize what they are so I can let them go. So I had no idea what it would bring up for me, none whatsoever. And that is where raising faith is all about. My mission became one of raising faith and lowering fear. So when we step into faith, we don't know. That's what faith's all about.
The book is I Am, A Spiritual Approach to Mental Health. There's a Fine Line Between Fear and Freedom by Marie Brunger, coming to us from Australia. You say in the book, and this is so interesting, I came to learn that it is not the events that shape our lives, but the stories we tell ourselves and the beliefs we form from these experiences that keep us well, happy, sick, and tired. Talk about that, because that really lays it out there. It's our thoughts that gets us in trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, and the beliefs we form. So we carry people's beliefs. Our beliefs are formed at an early age from the people that influence us around us, plus our genetic beliefs and governments and religion. I mean, it's like for me, my beliefs around God were scary. I thought there was a punishing God, and, you know, if I didn't do this, then God would punish me. I didn't even know I had those beliefs. I don't even know where they came from, but they were there. So really what I was doing was I was separating myself from the essence of who I am because of my beliefs. So when I was able to see God in a new light as love, see myself in a new light, see love in a new light, and put them all together, it made so much more sense for me. And that's our biggest problem, is the beliefs and the stories we tell them. It's not what happens to us. We might have an accident, let's say, or we might even be abused, But that's an event, but it's the stories we tell ourselves about that. It must have been my fault, or I must have done something wrong. This is God punishing me. And or all men or women are the same. They're the beliefs that form that cause most of the damage.
How did this transformation change your life? Talk about that process where suddenly you're peeling away at these fears and you're turning to faith, and the quality of life is so much significantly better than it was before.
From the inside out, yeah. On the outside, my life, you can't see, and I think this was the thing for me. I was looking to achieve something on the outside so I could feel good about myself. So, you know, I needed to have a good car and a good house and a good husband and this to make me feel good. But the thing is, when that falls away, where does that leave you? So when we build on the foundations of faith from the inside out, and then everything that we achieve on the outside becomes the icing on the cake, if the icing falls away, we don't crumble. So for me, it was constantly, I mean, what happened for me, I got so fascinated by what I was learning about myself. I then became a therapist and began to help other people. So my mission in life became one of healing my own life and helping others to help themselves to do the same. So this whole event of chronic fatigue syndrome turned itself on the head, and I was able to help other people to check their beliefs out, to check where they was coming from. Were they running from fear or faith, and be able to support them to make the changes that they needed. And that's particularly, a lot of that's in mental health as well.
Well, that's interesting. In dealing with mental health, when you were diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, how long did it take you for you to realize that may not even be the problem? It's this fear that I have to deal with. And what kind of assistance did you get from the medical community in dealing with this and you following your approach?
It was almost immediately I was diagnosed, and I had made the decision that I wasn't going to listen to what the doctor said, because they said, go home, avoid any mental physical stress. And so I said, well, that's not true. There's got to be another way. And so I began to do, the doctors said they couldn't help. So I then turned to alternative therapies. And that's when we began to uncover all the beliefs. And it was from there that I began to make the changes that needed to be made.
With us on the program is Marie Brunger, author of the book, I Am, A Spiritual Approach to Mental Health. There's a fine line between fear and freedom. You touched on this earlier, but it's so important to the recovery that people will be going through. A spiritual approach, that has a tendency maybe to scare some people. They're not maybe religious. They're concerned about God, Jesus. I don't know what to call it. I don't know. I don't have a background in religion. And you're saying you don't have to have a background in a religion, do you?
No, I believe that God or spirit or higher self, or there are so many names that we can call it, and I don't think it matters too much what we call it, but it's the essence of who we are, that when we get so busy out there, like the way I look at it is we are humans. Humans, God, man is the manifestation of God. And so that wherever we go, that's what makes up humanity. But if we leave spirit out of the equation, we leave out the essence of who we are, and we go about our business without the essence of who we are. And no wonder we end up sick and tired and at war with ourselves and with each other, because the very essence of ourselves, which is integrity, love, peace, faith, has been lost in our busyness in the world.
What kind of response are you getting? Because it's such a positive message, one that when we read your story, so many people can relate to, and they start looking inward and fear, and how do I handle this? And is this really the debilitating factor that's in my life? What kind of response are you getting to the book?
Look, most people that have responded to the book have said that they've had a bit of a tear. They've got some great insights for themselves. We've got caseworkers that are working in mental health. They are being able to take some tips from the book to work with their clients. So it's nothing major. I can't say it's exciting, but they're getting little bits out of the book that they can use either in their life or in the people's lives around them. And particularly when we're looking at depression and anxiety, which is crippling our families worldwide now, it's simple, it's subtle, you know, and yes, people are scared. And it's a matter of introducing, that's what my job is, to explain to them or have a look at their beliefs around God and spirituality and see if it's working for them or against them. And then they've got new choices. The whole idea of this is give people, when we shift our beliefs from a negative to a positive or from fear to faith, they have more choices. And that's really what it's all about.
How difficult a process was this for you? You mentioned towards the end of the book, I'm not sharing my journey with you because I'm proud of my life, but because I'm no longer ashamed of it. How long did it take you to get to the point where you weren't ashamed?
Oh,
and you could handle it yourself and you would share that story because it's so beneficial to other people.
Well, I didn't wake up, if you like, until I was in my 40s, Rick. So at late starter, I've had all that baggage leading up into my 40s, all that fear, that stored fear. So, yeah, you know what? It's taken most of the last 20-odd years to get to where I am today, where I can feel good about myself, where I can actually like and love myself, where I can begin to trust again, that I'd lost a lot of trust in people. So yeah, it's been a long and it's been a difficult journey. And I think that's why I'm passionate now to reach out to our kids, not necessarily directly, but through their parents, through schools, through others, so that our kids have a better chance right from the word go to feel good about themselves, to make their own decisions about their spirituality so that they can tap into the essence of who they are in a way that's right for them. If we can reach our kids now, then we will prevent depression and anxiety from continuing to grow worldwide.
You say at the end of the book, it feels as if I have been all the way around the world and back again, only to find that when I let go, what I was looking for was already there, right under my nose, right inside I am. And that sort of sums it all up, isn't it? It took a while to get there. It's not an easy journey, but once you were there, you found the answer.
Well, I think that's it. We keep constantly look outside ourselves for the answers, but the answers are really in here. If we sit still long enough, they do come up, and they will come to us. Ask and you shall receive, and we receive our solutions. But most of them are so blocked. We're so busy listening to other people that we don't hear and trust that voice within us, or that sense, if you call it a sixth sense, that can guide us. So I think that's the answer to everything. It did take me all the way around the world, and when I only to find what I was looking for was right inside myself.
The book is I Am, A Spiritual Approach to Mental Health. There's a Fine Line Between Fear and Freedom. Marie Brunger is the author and our guest. That's Brunger. The book's available, of course, at Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to the Amazon site that has information on Marie's book, and you can order it there as well. Marie, it's early in the morning. I know in Australia you got up to be with us and shared this message on the program today. I'm so grateful to have you on the program. Thank you for sharing the message, a very important one. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's been great. It's worth getting up for, and thank you for taking time to talk to me. I hope we can get this message out and just help our kids and our families to put a stop to this nonsense of depression and anxiety.
Well, it's such a crucial topic, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be part of the instrument to get this out to people. Again, the book is I Am, A Spiritual Approach to Mental Health. There is a Fine Line Between Fear and Freedom. Marie Brunger, our guest on the program. And information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Marie's book available at Amazon. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.